Welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy radio show. We are broadcasting from 92.1 in Provincetown, 91.3 in Orleans, and online at WOMR.org. I am Lindsay Henderson from Cape Light Compact. Today we'll be talking about a couple of different topics of interest to you. The first one is a new program that has been launched for medium-sized businesses in specific industries. And later on in the show, we'll be discussing ways that you can make your home cooler this summer. For the first part of the program, I am joined by Brianna Kane from Cape Light Compact, who manages this new medium business program. Welcome, Brianna.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So we have some exciting things going on at the Compact. With the start of our three-year plan in January, we've been working on coming up with some new programs, especially on the business side of things.
We did take time to investigate our businesses and what programs and opportunities could be developed to best serve them in this three-year plan, and we really did try to make sure that all of our customers could be able to participate in our programs fully.
So what exactly is this new program that's available to medium-sized customers?
Sure. Well, let's first define what the Compact has classified as a medium customer. And that's a customer whose annual kWh usage is 100,001 kWh yearly, up to 1.5 million kWh yearly. So it's a very broad range of customers that fall into this medium category. And we had decided to try to offer them a comprehensive program that looked at all of the potential opportunities that they would be able to take advantage of and to structure a program best suited for this customer class.
And so just to take a step back for a second, I'm not sure if folks remember, but a couple years ago when we were in the planning stages for this three-year plan, we did a pretty large study that helped kind of, I think, guide some of these decisions that we made for this three-year plan. We found that there were some opportunities in different, especially on the business side, that weren't being met. So,
yes, the study looked at, you know, customers in the residential and commercial world, and we really got a nice look at what our customer class is made up of. And we have a lot of customers that are smaller in size, so those that use the under 100,000 kWh annually. And we tailored a program that we thought best suited their needs. And then we also developed this medium program, and we decided to start off with two segments that were identified as good opportunities for us. That first segment is our grocery, liquor, and convenience store segment. And then that's followed up by our hospitality segment, which looks at lodging and restaurants.
So when you talk about like the grocery and convenience stores, like we have some chains, you've got like the Cumberland Farms and, you know, Stop and Shops and stuff. Would those be eligible through this?
So not for the medium program, but the one thing about the Compact is that no matter where you are, there is a program available for you. So I always urge customers that are interested in pursuing energy efficiency opportunities to call our 800 number and get signed up for an assessment if they qualify for one, or at least get to the right program manager who can help guide them through their questions and process to participate in our efficiency programs. So a Stop and Shop falls under one of our national chains, and it moves it to a different category of programs, our large customers. So that customer would be handled in our large commercial program.
Okay, so this is more for like the little, maybe the little grocery stores around the corner that, you know, use obviously over 100,000 kWh a year, but,
well,
you know.
Well, we call our kind of mom and pop, and maybe they have two locations, you know, one each in a neighboring town. And those two actually could be combined to fit into this medium grocery segment.
And so what exactly happens with these if somebody was interested, you know, who's a grocery, liquor, or, you know, the mom and pop convenience mm-hmm. stores, how did they participate? What is available to them?
So we start off by getting information from them when they call in and express interest in pursuing the program. Very high level information. Location of the store, we verify their annual KW usage, heating type, etc. And then one of our lead vendors would go out and perform a comprehensive energy assessment. And the reason behind doing the comprehensive energy assessment is to try to take as little time out of these customers' schedules by looking at everything all at once and presenting them with a path that they can take from no cost to, you know, larger cost opportunities. And we want to offer them a comprehensive service package so that we can provide the best incentives to them versus doing things kind of piecemeal. If we do lighting in 1 year that's no cost and then they need a larger piece, we would rather just blend everything together and provide them with all of the opportunities. So that's what this program is looking to do. You know, some of the, what we kind of call instant savings measures or no cost are, you know, providing any energy efficient screw-in lamps to replace their inefficient lamps. So if someone has a halogen and we can replace it with, you know, an LED opportunity, if that's the best fit for their location, those are items that we're looking to provide the customer. Aerators and shower heads and spray valves, especially in the restaurant industry, are very
most common
measures, and we can, you know, cover those at no cost to the customer. And then you kind of move up to measures that a little bit more in the game of making these energy efficiency improvements to their location, and those would be we're looking to provide incentives of up to 80% to cover LED fixtures and some lighting controls or refrigeration controls. So for coolers and groceries, you know, in improving the lighting and making them more efficient so that you don't just have these open air coolers when you go into some of these smaller grocery stores, just losing all of their cooling opportunity to
right.
the open air area.
And I know that I've gone into some of the local, you know, small markets. We've got one across the street, you know, and you can tell when they've done, especially upgrades to like the refrigeration, the lighting in the coolers, because they were so dark before, and then what a difference it makes. You know, it makes your product look better, but it brightens everything up, you know, just by replacing the lighting in the coolers.
Right, and these are measures that we know provide significant savings to customers, and that's why we offer a generous incentive to get them to move forward. And then in that comprehensive report, we also look at energy management systems and some possible heat recovery ventilators for certain industries, and in our lodging, you know, some hood controls for restaurants, laundry for lodging, pool covers, pool pumps. Those are all opportunities that we can look at and provide incentive for. And then, of course, if we went into a location and there was a certain type of equipment that we had, we might be able to offer a custom opportunity to provide them, you know, the ability to make that improvement to make their business more efficient. Economizers, furnaces, PTAC controllers.
So it's really a broad range of services now. And if folks are familiar with the home energy assessment, where it's all comprehensive, you know, they go in, do the light bulbs, blower door and stuff all at the same time. It's one visit, typically. We've kind of taken that structure over to the commercial side so that, you know, before it was multiple visits, somebody coming out who just did refrigeration, who just did lighting, who just did heating. But now we're trying to wrap that all into one visit so that it saves time and it's a more comprehensive report now.
And I think, you know, we have to look at our customers on the Cape and Vineyard as to what best suits their needs. So if you're dealing with a smaller business that's managed by a family and it's the busy time of year, our April through, you know, let's say even October time, where you're starting to get ready for the summer season and then you're closing down, we need to make these programs available in the least amount of interruption to their daily schedule so that they can continue to operate.
Right.
And that's what these programs have been designed to. So like you had said, instead of just going in and looking, having someone knock on their door essentially and say, we have some lighting opportunities we can provide you, and then another person coming out, you know, 6 months later saying, oh, there's also some refrigeration, we're better able to target our customers and provide them these opportunities.
And so why are these two being targeted right now? Will there, have we done like pilots before that kind of prove the program a little bit? Or, you know, will there be other industry segments that we might explore down the road?
Yes. So for the grocery segment, there was a pilot that was done over the past couple of years that targeted these smaller groceries and provided them opportunities. We did see a number of grocery stores participate, but we wanted to now take that information that was learned during the studies and build this better comprehensive program for our Cape and Vineyard customers. So that's where we came up with the grocery segment. And since we'd been doing it for a little while, it was easier to roll that segment out first. So that one is one that you'll see some marketing on coming out, and maybe you'll hear in your town or see actually when you go into one of these smaller stores to support local small business improvements made. And then it's the Cape and Vineyard. We are a vacation destination opportunity, so it's very easy to see why lodging, the hospitality lodging restaurant, was another segment that we defined as having potential opportunity. So we're getting the word out about that segment. We understand that this is obviously the busy time of year, but as long as we can start to market, get the word out, we're hoping to see participation increase over time, and especially in the fall and winter when they might have the opportunity to actually take the time to get these improvements made. And then we are looking for different segments. We've been analyzing data from the study. I've been looking at some of our customer groupings as we've defined them, and we might see some opportunity for some either small retail, smaller offices that we can group into offering a comprehensive package. One of the reasons to offer a segmented approach too is if we had a number of customers that signed up and participated, we also might be able to get some better pricing on some of the larger energy efficient options and be able to offer a better incentive or a lower cost to them, which might get them to move forward. So that's what we're looking to do, is to provide, if we get a segment and we have enough people signed up for it.
Great. And so if a business who is in the grocery or the hospitality, and grocery again being a small grocery store, liquor, or convenience store that aren't chains, or the hospitality segment, which is, you know, lodging and restaurants, how would one participate? What do they have to do to just, do they just give us a call again?
That's the easiest way. I mean, we have our wonderful call center who answers calls Monday through Friday, and they can help guide you through, or if you had a specific question, like, I am only interested in doing this opportunity, then they can get you to a program manager to speak about that option further. But the easiest thing to do is call our 800 number, 800-797-6699, and sign up for an energy assessment. And we do have a program that is available for you. So if you don't fall into our medium grocery segment, you can still participate maybe in our small business segment, which also offers the comprehensive opportunities and those similar measures of, you know, replacing inefficient lamps with efficient lamps and aerators and shower heads and LED fixtures.
So people shouldn't worry if they don't fall, you know, over that 100,000 kWh a year.
I'm a small business and I use 100,000 kWh. Call.
Call us if you use 15,000 kWh. Exactly. There still might be a opportunity for you. So that's good news that we have, you know, programs, you know, we've restructured the programs this year, and we're really excited about what we're doing, and we have happy customers, and, you know, encourage people to give us a call. And that phone number again is 1-800-797-6699, and it just takes a few minutes to sign up.
And of course, our website also does have a lot of good information as well at www.capelightcompact.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brianna. This is very exciting news, and we look forward to seeing what happens with the program.
Thank you.
For the second part of our program, I am joined by John Robichaud from Roby's Heating and Cooling, who is going to talk with us about how we can prepare for summer and keeping our houses cool. Welcome, John. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Lindsay, and thank you very much for having me.
So now that the warm weather has finally joined us, I bet some of our listeners are now wondering what they can do to keep their homes as cool as possible. Do you have some suggestions of a few of the ways they can keep their houses cool?
Well, as in this day and age, there are many, many options, you know. You got your basic old window fans, you know, and just things that blow air around somebody's house, make some people feel comfortable. Then there's the old window air conditioning technology, okay? I call it today the old technology, but they're still very, very popular. And, you know, we don't even involve ourselves with those anymore because nowadays folks can go right down to Home Depot and pick one up, put them in a window, and they're done. You can't beat it, you know? And you can't beat the price point. But the two major things that we are involved with are the ductless mini splits and the central air conditioning, which is still the premium way to go. And the ductless mini splits have certainly become very, very popular in this day and age. Not everybody likes them, but they do definitely serve a great purpose.
Now, what is a ductless mini split? Because I know that they have been becoming more popular, and for folks that might have different types of heating, like not have a hot air or a ductwork. So if you could just expand a little more on what it is.
Well, of course, central air conditioning needs ductwork, whether it be existing ductwork that comes from folks that heat their house with a warm air furnace, or putting a ductwork system up in an attic, you know, which is still the premium way to go. So many times that is just not an option in many homes. And the ductless mini splits, which in today's age are both heating and cooling units. They're called heat pumps. And they basically do a room or an area. But one of the disadvantages that a lot of folks don't like is they're a device that hangs on your wall. And you have to run little refrigerant piping and wires from that unit that you hang on the wall, and you got to run it down to a condensed unit that sits outside in the ground. But they are very, very, very quiet, very reliable, very energy efficient, which I'll touch base more on a little bit later, but they're just a very, very good option, you know.
And the technology on those has changed so dramatically, because when our offices were down the hill in the Superior Courthouse, we had some ancient ones up on the walls that, you know, the piping and stuff was inside the wall, but now everything's pretty much, it's hidden, and the units look so much better than they used to.
Yeah, they do look nice, but they, again, not everybody wants to look at that, but when you weigh the options, for example, a window air conditioner, as noisy as they are, they take up the space of a window. To be able to get rid of those and put in one of these, it's like night and day, but they're very good, you know.
And to have that heating option as well in the wintertime.
A lot of folks, a lot of folks enjoy that heating option. That's where that's become a new plus, you know. It's started to make this more of a year-round industry, you know.
So what can someone do to actually prepare their home for summer, whether they have an existing system or they're thinking about purchasing a new one?
Yeah. Well, that's a great subject, because I can't emphasize enough in people and pre-planning, thinking ahead that summer's coming, springtime hits, and everybody wants to think about air conditioning. And unfortunately, everyone thinks about air conditioning at the same time.
And it's all in the middle of the summer when it's the hottest days.
Yeah. And right now it's all the beginning, because a lot of folks are thinking in May and June that, geez, it's going to get hot, and I think I want to look into this. And, you know, our backlogs have already hit. It takes time to, you know, respond to somebody that wants to get an estimate look into this stuff, you know. Even folks that are trying to get preventive maintenance done on many of the systems that we have installed, you know, that there's a weight. We own, there's so many hours in a day, and you know. So I mean, the pre-planning is the big thing I remind people is, you know, this stuff can be checked and looked at practically any time of year. But some of the things, as far as preparing, you know, it's just good basic common sense maintenance. You know, the new filters, the cleaning of the indoor and outdoor coils, cleaning of the drains, maybe condensate pumps. You know, listening to noises that they might make. But the biggest thing I recommend is do not wait till the till the first day it gets hot. You know, it's a beautiful day today, for example. It's like you don't need air conditioning, but go turn the darn thing on.
See how it's running, and yeah. If you see any issues or need anything done, then you call your HVAC contractor.
Then at least it's not an emergency, you know. So I mean, that's really the biggest thing is don't wait till the last minute, you know.
Now, does insulation have a part to do with keeping a house cool? Because I know that, you know, obviously in the wintertime we think about insulation keeping us warm. Mm-hmm. Does it also help in the summertime?
Yeah, huge. You know, good insulation, good windows, and weather stripping and weather sealing. All of this has a dramatic impact not only in the winter months, but in the summer months. You know, and that's where I can't emphasize enough folks to, you know, get involved with the Mass Energy audit there to have that done. But, you know, a good point to remember is people that have had systems in their house, a central system in their house from years ago, and nowadays folks will go out and have an energy audit done, and to have their houses tightened up, they might do a new insulation package, maybe new attic insulation, beefing up the insulation, new windows, and all of these things have a dramatic effect on the load of an air conditioner, the size of an air conditioner needed. So many days we go and look at older systems that need a replacement, and we're finding that they're oversized because they were designed in the earlier years when the windows were poor and the insulation was poor. So it's something we have to watch for. You know, every house has got to be checked, and we always make sure we do a load calculation to make sure we're putting in the right size air conditioner.
Which is always very important, too, even, you know, with the heating systems, because you obviously don't want to put in something too large where, you know, the customer's obviously going to pay more money for a larger system and pay more on their bills, but it won't be the most efficient system for that house.
That's right. The same thing applies to the heating. So the point I'm making is many times we go into a house and we are installing smaller equipment because the houses have been better insulated nowadays. And of course, this is certainly true of the new homes that are built.
And so if folks out there are interested in having a free energy assessment, Cape Light Compact does them as part of the MassSafe program. And you can give us a call at 1-800-797-6699.
Yep. It's something we're very much in favor of, you know.
So what is the recommended temperature setting for cooling?
Well, you know, that's a big subject. It's obviously it's a personal preference, but I want to, you know, this is where I use the phrase, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. And today there's major advances in technology where a lot of the higher efficiency equipment has got ways to not just regulate the temperature, but regulate the humidity in a home. So, you know, for many places, you know, I can illustrate with two examples where someone may set their thermostat or they need it at 70 degrees, but unbeknown to them, it's humid in the house, so they need it down at 70. But in reality, with today's newer systems, you can easily set your thermostat up 74, 75, but with the technology, it dries the house out, gets the moisture out of the house, the humidity out of the house. And I tell you, there's nothing more comfortable than, say, 74, 75 degrees, but extracting and pulling out the humidity that's in that house. You know, people don't realize that until they've actually experienced it, you know?
Right, right. Now, should when they're out of the house, should they turn, and of course with central, with cooling, I've always got, mm-hmm. whether you turn the temperature up, you should always turn it up a few degrees when you're out of the house for a long period of time, right?
Yeah.
To save on your energy bills?
Yeah, and that's where the programmable thermostats work. That's where the new smart thermostats sense this. Of course, one of the products is the Nest thermostat, and you know, Carrier's got a thermostat they call Core, and these all do these. These things sense whether you're in the house or not, and if you're out of the house, they don't sense motion. They actually turn the temperature up or down depending upon the season, you know. So
the technology has come a long way.
It's come a long way, and that's what drives, you know, the price of systems that we install nowadays, you know.
Now, if somebody was interested in installing either a new central air conditioning system or a ductless mini split system in their house, what is involved with that, and like average pricing, obviously knowing, you know, depending on the size of the house and how many units, et cetera?
Yeah, well, as far as we are concerned at Robies, we obviously, recommend people, you know, give us a call so we can schedule a site visit, which we review the home and we listen to your needs and we listen to your concerns and, you know, how you like to, you know, utilize a system, what you're thinking. And, you know, that's where we get to take a look and determine, you know, what is the better way to install a system? Is it, you know, is it just no way to put ductwork in, or there is no ductwork, which means, you know, you forget about trying to install a central air conditioning system. And that's where you might take a look at ductless split technology. A central system in today's day and age, they can run $12,000, $14,000. A ductless split, if we're just talking, you know, it's hard to compare because a ductless split system could be $3,000, $3,500, you know, totally installed and wired and all that. But remember,
for one unit,
that's one unit, one room.
Right.
But the ductless split technology's got great technology where I could do 2, 3, 4 rooms, and if I can run all my pipes to one central condensing unit, that one condensing unit can do multiple indoor units of a ductless split system. So, and all this stuff is good, but certainly, you know, it drives the price up, you know.
And are there any incentives or rebates available for these units?
Yeah, and boy, I tell you, that's a big word for us at Robies, my company here. We try and maximize any and all rebates and manufacturers' incentives. We summarize. I have a great summarize document that's on our website, robies.com. On the incentives page, and it's just, it is a lot to it. But I want to point out that incentives and rebates, as great as they are through, you know, MassSave, gas networks, manufacturers, all that stuff is steered toward high efficiency equipment. And with high efficiency equipment, that's where the technology comes in, that's where the greater comfort comes in with humidity control. It all adds money. Okay, but that's where the rebates and incentives are there to help offset the higher cost of that equipment. But I tell you, the comfort levels you get with this better equipment is dramatic, because as I pointed out earlier, it's all about the humidity, and that's where we as an industry are trying to, you know, focus on, not just a thermostat that only knows temperature, but now the thermostats know temperature and humidity. And they know how to control it.
Because I know that's one of the things I always hear about is, oh, it's so humid out.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's a huge thing now. And but again, it's hard to remember. It's hard to think that most people don't have the advantage of, you know, seeing it both ways, because, you know, we only live in one house, you know. So.
Now, as we wrap up, do you have any other tips for our listeners today?
Well, I'll tell you, the one biggest tip that is something that's always overlooked and is basements. It's one of my pet peeves, because I was just in a in a friend's basement over the weekend, and you know, I go down there, and it's nice and cool down there. But I know, because I'm in the business, it's cool and it's very, very moist. And there's the dehumidifier sitting off in the corner, and it's not running. You know, why aren't you running a dehumidifier? I said, oh, it feels nice down here. I don't need it yet. You know, well, I can't emphasize enough dehumidifiers and running them in your basement. You know, spring, summer, fall, keep the moisture out of those basements, keep the buckets emptied and keep them running. You know, moisture in homes is a bad thing. You know.
And I think with dehumidifiers, you also, you know, you want to make sure if you don't have one, you should. But there's rebates available. Cape Light Compact has rebates through MassSave. And also you want to make sure you buy them properly sized for the space, too, because I know some folks will buy, like, a huge unit but may not need that big.
That's a great point, because bigger is not better on a dehumidifier. You do want them running. It's just like an air conditioner. They need to be running in order for them to be extracting the moisture from that basement or that home. So bigger is not better when it comes to dehumidifiers, you know? Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, John. Hopefully this information is helpful for our listeners. I know it's helpful for me. And If you have any questions on what was discussed today or would like more information on our programs, you can give us a call at 508-375-6644 or visit our website, capelightcompact.org. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be here same time, same place next month.
Thank you very much for having me.